This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on a Monday.
All-Star Game, 32 new players. That's nice. Is it good for the game? Nope. I'll explain why in a bit. Not that the players didn't earn it. That's not the point. Somebody who earns his keep here all the time is today's show in this half hour, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, is the outstanding four handicap, gets it done, front nine, back nine, any nine, Nate Bauer. Sir, welcome. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. None of this is accurate, but I'll take it.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, please. You're out there on the golf course. You're burying people, okay? Taking their money. I know how it works. I mean, I understand. I mean, Sean Fitz can barely get rent now because of you.
That's true. He's a slouch. He's no good. But unfortunately, you're making me pine for a year of many years ago. Put it that way. Those days are long gone. Four handicap. Come on.
Okay. I admire your humility. All right. So you've done a series of lengthy interviews with a lot of people.
Yeah.
So let's go. Let's start at the top, and that is Pat Kraft, the vice president for Intercollegiate Athletics. A lot of talk about Beaver Stadium. A lot of talk about what to do with $22 million. What were your primary takeaways that were answers that you sat back and went, okay, that's something to think about?
Yeah. So I think the first is with Beaver Stadium. You kind of had this conversation that was happening in the public sphere, including with the Board of Trustees meeting that happened on May 21st, where they obviously approved the final, 90% of the funding to move forward with the project. And effectively, they had three options, right? One was roughly $200 million just to keep the stadium standing. Just to have it up to code, all of those things. Deferred maintenance is kind of the buzzword there, but it really would not have added a whole lot beyond that. No, you know, the bells and whistles would not have been there. And then, you know, he acknowledged another option, which was a new stadium, right, a new build, which they came in with, I think the number was $2 billion.
Yes.
Right, give or take.
Right. I think it's like It's like $2.2 billion.
Yes, and so, but the issue with that is, and he acknowledged this, it's not just $2.2 billion. Yes, that is an astronomical number to begin with, but it's also the debt servicing on it puts it over the lifespan of 30 years at something like $3.7 billion ish. So it effectively acknowledged that it was cost prohibitive for Penn State to go down that road, which leads you to what they did land on. And this was really the whole point of the interview for me, why I sought to set it up, was I don't know that the public has a full grasp of how Penn State, one, utilizes Beaver Stadium currently, and two, envisions its use in the future. And basically, the acknowledgement is, okay, this is a building that, if you look at all of the revenues that come into Penn State Athletics, this is a building that is host to 70% of it, 80% of it, right? It's an astronomical number in terms of the revenues that Penn State has control over that go through that building. They have an opportunity to do that at a much greater scale, a much bigger scale, with what they're doing with the renovation. They envision this as a multi-use facility that will have opportunities to be filled effectively daily. Right? It's not just football. The football piece of it is massive. You are adding suites. You are adding, right, like effectively owners' boxes, boxes that, right, founders' boxes, loge boxes, you name it. There's going to be a ton of those high figure, dollar figure amenities for that crowd. But there's also going to be a ton of seats, right? I mean, there's a market there for football that is not currently being fulfilled with the current offerings of the stadium that they envision, having success moving forward.
There's another element, side element to it as well. If athletics wants to host something in a building, yep, the Jordan Center is not an option because they have to pay rent when they do that. If they host something at Beaver Stadium, or they are able to procure a conference that's going to take place in that west side of Beaver Stadium, it is athletics that actually reaps the benefit financially of doing something like that.
100%. It feels small in scale when you're talking about a $700 million project, but there's people don't grasp it. I didn't even necessarily grasp it, but weddings, conferences, expos, right? Like, you name it, the number of opportunities for this large scale multi-use facility space, it will be there. Right? It is something that, right, one, currently doesn't exist in the state college market, and two, is something that they really feel strongly has an avenue for creating revenues on top of all of the additional revenue opportunities, right? You almost have to put it into buckets, right? Because in one bucket, yes, football is huge. That event itself, those seven Saturdays a year, those are huge. And then on top of that, you're going to have the one-offs, right? That's a second bucket, is the World Cup qualifying, NHL Winter Classic, you name it. These things that they believe they can be competitive in drawing into Beaver Stadium and having these events, Luke Combs concerts. Mm-hmm. And then the third is what's actually kind of the bread and butter of this, this underlying, hey, there's going to be a welcome center for new students. There's going to be this massive 40,000 square foot space that they can do many more things than the stadium currently offers them the capacity to do.
Okay. And I'd say, what are the 630 they're getting? About 200 to 220 of that is actually back maintenance. I think that's a fair number, right?
Yeah, I think so. Anywhere between high ones and low twos.
Right. Okay, so now the next part of it is the James Franklin conversation. Yeah. He's going to talk more at Big Ten Media Days coming up in a couple of weeks. But what is the vibe that he's getting it from his football team that really only a head coach can get?
Yeah, that's a good question. Certainly, I think improved morale. Look, last year wasn't great when it came to that, I think is a fair way to put it. This was a program that had high expectations, high hopes, and really, it wasn't just that they lost to Ohio State and Michigan. It was the way they lost, right? This lack of hope almost is, right? I don't want to be too dramatic about this, but it was deflating, right? Andy Kolodnicki has changed that. There are positive vibes, good things from Andy Kolodnicki, Tom Allen, Justin Lustig, right? Things to feel good about and optimistic about really throughout the roster. That said, And something that I think was a very important takeaway from the interview is leadership is a thing for this team, right? Whether or not they can fulfill and have strong leaders, you know, and how it takes shape, right? You know, last year, kind of the narrative was, oh, you know, you might not have the level of Sean Clifford, P.J. Mustipher, or Tig Brown, but you do have 15 guys who can set an example and kind of carry that weight collectively. I and this is me kind of reading between the lines here, but I don't think he likes that. Right? Yeah. I don't think that's what they're looking for. I think they want stronger leadership. I think he's putting it on the players, has been since January, February, to say, look, like this is uncomfortable in how you guys carry yourself, right? Nick Singleton doesn't want to act like that. Drew Aller doesn't, right? These are nice kids. Even Nick Dawkins, right? The stronger guys that they have, yeah. Nick Dawkins. But he needs more. He needs more of that. The program needs more of the tough love kind of vibe, right? The hey, you can't be slacking. Keep up. These are the goals of the team, and everyone has to buy into them and be 100% on board and understand your roles. But all of those different facets that I think sometimes we make fun of a little bit because it buys into the movie theme, right, of how sports work. No, they're like that. That's there. That's an element that has to exist. They have to have some of that to have success. And I think he's putting it on those guys to be more forceful about the leadership that they have this offseason.
Well, in other words, you have to have the guy that looks around and says, look, this isn't good enough, and be powerful about it. I mean, that's what he's talking about, right? You know, it's one thing to have people pat you on the back when it goes great, but when things aren't right, or it's 2.5 hours into a Wednesday practice, and guess what? You're tired. You better meet the standard, and I'm going to be the one to tell you, oh, by the way, I'm meeting the standard first.
Yep. Yep. And this lends into it, but talking to Drew Aller, right, which was another one of these interviews that I had.
That'll be the next one. That'll be the next one we bring up.
Yeah, I mean, perfect segue. He pointed out KJ Winston as one of those guys who I don't know that I've heard a lot of publicly, right, to this point in his career. Yeah, great kid, is a heck of a player and has huge things in front of him this season, but I don't know that he's been discussed by teammates in the terms that Drew described, right, as a guy who will do all of the things that you just talked about, right? Setting that example, being that forceful leader, and being willing to be unliked. It's not about being so aggressive that you want people to not like you. It's that you're saying, hey, these are the right things to do, and I don't care whether you like it or not. Like that's the vibe that they've got to have more of, and I think he's one of those guys that that delivers that.
Well, Drew has a personality, but I will say this. When he became the starting quarterback last year, the area he kept trying to personally lead and bond with was the offensive line, and I felt that was important. Everybody's giving answers about the wide receivers. What answers did the quarterback and the head football coach and the offensive coordinator give you about the wide receivers?
Yeah, so I think it's important to represent all of it, okay? And so Andy Kolodnicki, on one end of the spectrum, Andy Kolodnicki was unabashedly defensive in favor of the receivers, right? Mm-hmm. Saying, look, they got a bad rap last year that wasn't deserved to the extent that people believed, and they're going to do much better this year. They are going to be put in positions. It is his responsibility to put them in the positions to have success. The personnel that they have there right? I mean, there was no gray area. It was the receivers are going to have an excellent season. They're going to surprise some people, and this is how they're going to do it. Drew Aller was in the same vein, I would say, talking about 10 times ahead of where they were in the spring right now. And look, I'll cut through this. There was some subtweeting of Keandre Lambert-Smith, right? Not even needing to bring his name up into the conversation, but yep. Hey, if you look, what's the difference, right? What's the difference in that room between spring ball and now? And when the overall conversation from Kotelnicki, Drew Aller, and James Franklin all aligns in the sense of the vibe is better, that there is better leadership, it is a more focused group, they're saying something without saying it. And that is that Keandre Lambert-Smith was not conducive to really the health of that room. And then the last thing that I think is very important is, for as complimentary and optimistic as Kotelnicki and Drew Aller were, James Franklin said very plainly, yes, steps taken, good things, have to be better. Right? Not just going on the glow side, saying, hey, this is a group that still has to be better. And right, it is incumbent upon them to deliver, because if they don't, Penn State won't be able to reach the goals that it has as a program this season.
Right. This is where they do the 7-on-7 work. This is obviously the workout time as well. What vibe did you get from Drew Aller about how he feels the 7-on-7s have gone, since he has to work with everybody on an everyday basis, and he and Bo have to lead that?
Yeah, good. Right. I mean, I do think that again, I'm paraphrasing obviously here, but he talked about buy-in and saying that it's the best that it's been since he's been, he said since he's been here, but I think what he meant is his time as the starter, right? So dating back to two Januaries ago, since then, the buy-in is as good as it has been, and he's encouraged by that. Again, I think that it was a real question last year. You don't need, I think sometimes we get this perception as though mass mutiny is, right, like what kind of happens within a football program where, okay, right, they're disaffected and they're giving up and they don't try. It's not that. It's that if you got five guys who aren't doing the right things, being the right way, it can impact everybody.
No question.
It can be a low percentage that has a wide, broad impact. And when Drew Aller says, yeah, the buy-in is as good as it's been, I think that carries weight. I think that grabbed my attention as to, okay, this is a purposeful comment to indicate the guys in the team, the guys in this program are doing the right things, believe in the plan, are not, you know, kind of locker room lawyering their way through the off season. And again, that's a optimistic element for this program to have going into training camp here later this month.
No question about that, because I know James Franklin, when he's talked with donors, he talks about pulling the rope in the same direction. Well, that's the daily basis of a football team. You have to have all 124 guys pulling the rope in the same direction, and it just can't be about, I need to make sure that this works for me.
Yep. No, 100%. It is one of his biggest mantras, right? Philosophies, right? Having this unity of mission. And that is incredibly hard to do with 125 guys between the ages of 18 and 23. It's hard to do that, but you have to be purposeful in setting the climate and the culture within the program to achieve that as best as you can. And it's going to vary. And every program knows this. It will vary from year to year how well you're able to achieve that based on kind of the unique personality that teams take. But again, I'm witnessing this again. This is my perception, but I'm seeing this delicate balance of yes, things are better and things are taking strides. It is not a rubber stamp that everything's hunky dory. Right? It is that, right. That call for leadership is a signal to say, hey, there's still room to grow and right. to get better and to you know further these foundations. I would describe it as maybe like a cautious optimism that they are doing the right things that will put them in place to be competitive this fall.
These are all answers we'll actually get when they start playing games, but in the off season, it's interesting to talk about.
All right, 100%. We got one of the funny things for me was asking Drew about. Look, his next shot at Ohio State is November 2nd.
Yep.
Right, and that's everything about last year was about those two games. Michigan's not on the schedule this year, and you don't get Ohio State until the beginning of November. That is a wide you just don't get to put yourself back in that opportunity. Now they have to take care of a ton of business before they get to that point for that point to matter. But this narrative arc is so drawn out. It's about what he does in this space right now that will put him in the position to succeed when that comes. But again, you don't get to experience it again until a year later.
Well, you get to experience the golf course in just a short period of time. So,
I hope so.
You're the best. Thanks so much for the time, as always, Nate.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Nate Bauer on 3.com. Blouette Illustrated. More next half hour. Great to have you with us. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.